gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, you know, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad emotion. My peanut butter chocolate cake with
transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the biz, man. That's what we're here for. Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Welcome to week six, the fantasy football season and the NFL season. We have five teams tied atop our standings. It's still the tightest that I think I've ever remember the league being this deep into the season. Five teams tied for first place at 4-1, only divided by their points scored so far. We have four teams at 2-3 trying to get that number six playoff spot. We got a 1-4 and we got an 0-5. And we're going to be hearing from our leader in the doghouse and our cellar arse this week. We've got Jordan, Cooper Cup of Noodles, followed by Scott and the Cleveland Hash Browns. Going to be a good one. We talked to Jordan on Tuesday, so some of the projections for us might be a little bit off, but I don't think anybody's actually holding us to any standard for any of our picks. So just enjoy. Have fun. And best of luck to everybody in your matchups this week.
Come on, come on. My fingertips and my lips, they burn from the cigarettes. Forrest Gump, you run my mind, boy.
An early edition recording of the pod this week. We are back to on the standings. Hot takes up in his hands, ready to dish him out. Back on the pod, it's Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
Hi, Rick. Great song choice.
Thanks.
That song's from a really good album. It's probably the worst song on the album, but Channel Orange by Frank Ocean, good song choice. Yeah, I liked it better than George of the Jungle or Tarzan or whatever the song was last time, so appreciate it.
It was Phil Collins, so it's fine. Whatever.
George of the Jungle.
You know, I couldn't find that song on YouTube. That's the one I was going for. I couldn't find it.
I knew it. That's what I thought it was at first. I don't know the difference between the two. I see people swinging on vines, and I get the little hard eyes, and I lose all sense of names.
All right. So as I said, you're coming in number one team, tied with four others at 4-1 in first place. You are the leader in points scored at 602. You're the leader also in high scores of the week with two. I take it you're pretty unhappy. You kind of want to quit the league, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind quitting. I'm still kind of mad that Keenan Allen went out with injury last year. Still sort of mad that everybody was making fun of me last year. So if I can find somebody to replace me, sure, I'll leave the league.
Okay, I'm glad we heard it here first. Jordan he's done. Goodbye.
Done. The UN.
All right, so it is a Tuesday when we are doing this recording here, just to get the schedules for everyone to work out. This, of course, means that regular podcasting will resume after this on Wednesday, but it's going to take me a day to get to it. But for you, it's going to take just however long this happens. So we've got no waiver wire ads for half the teams this week. Lots of funky rosters, lots of funky fantasy pro scores coming in. So things are probably going to change by the time you hear the second half of the pod, but you'll understand. It'll be fine. It'll sound okay when you listen to it later. Future you, which is present you, to me, future you, present you, is going to be all right. Do you follow?
Are you talking to me or are you talking to the listener? Because I wasn't following that one bit.
Okay, when you re-listen later...
Write it down for me.
Okay, future you will be able to understand what past present you is hearing now.
Got it. Thanks.
That one made sense. Begin with our matchups. Andrew, who is now team named Dan...
Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Rick, you know how this goes when I'm on the podcast. We don't just go right into matchups. We like to talk about life a little bit.
All right.
I like to go into segments a little bit before the matchups just to kind of grease the wheels a little bit and get our brains moving here.
Sure, you can run the podcast.
You know,
that's fine.
You know, I like to, you mind if I run the podcast really quick?
I do mind, but go ahead.
Okay, so since I like to stick to sports, I just want to talk about this week. It was week 5 that we just finished up. The injury bug seemed to bite the league. You know, we lost J.J. Watt. We lost Odell Beckham. We lost Brandon Marshall. We lost Sterling Shepard. We lost Plaxico Burress. We lost Mario Manningham. We lost David Tyree. We lost the guy with the dreads on the Giants, too. He also went out with a season-ending injury. What are the other Giants receivers?
I can't think of any others.
Okay. Anyways, so that was big news out of the league. You know, with the injury bug biting, it made me think. When you think of the injury bug biting the league, what kind of bug is it?
Do I have to describe what the bug looks like, or can it just be a bug that exists?
Like, when somebody says, that's the injury bug, what kind of bug is it?
I have never thought about it. I've always been thinking,
thoughts
and
it.
Prayers are with the player that was injured. I'm not thinking about bugs.
Thoughts and prayers. Just think about it now. What kind of bug, when you imagine the injury bug, what kind of bug is it? That's all I'm asking.
I'm thinking it's like the big cockroaches in Family Guy or something. Just like they're the big, big angry bugs and they just sneak up into the locker room and they're just like, boom, broken ankle.
Okay. Wow. Oh, you're thinking of like not a biting bug, like a physical assault?
Yeah.
Like domestic violence bug?
I mean, a bug can't, you know, like a tiny bug can't break your leg. It's got to be a big bug.
Wow. Yeah, I never thought about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I always thought of it as like a little beetle, but maybe you could be right. Yeah. Okay. Well, good to think about. What's your another question, maybe? What's your favorite bug?
I don't have one. I don't like bugs.
Rick, you know, we got to get an answer here. What's your favorite bug? You don't, or least hated bug.
Is there a right answer here? I mean, because
yes,
I really don't like
the right answer. I can tell you the right answer if you just tell me what yours is. I'll grade you.
Roly-polies.
I'll grade you on a curve because you don't like
roly-polies.
Ooh, roly-poly. That's actually a great answer. Wow, I forgot those even exist, man.
You're welcome.
I used to call them something different when I was little, but I can't remember what the name was. Potato bug. That's what I called it.
What?
Why would they be called a potato bug? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
Is it because they're in the dirt with potatoes?
Could be, yeah. Do they look like potatoes when they're all rolled up?
No, they look like little beans.
Yeah, maybe it's a bean bug. but the correct answer was actually praying mantis.
Why?
Because they're badass.
Okay.
You ever seen one?
No, I don't like bugs. I don't look at bugs or think about bugs all the time.
So dope. They're like doing the praying thing. Dude, praying mantises are like the ninjas of the bug world.
Thoughts and praying mantis?
What?
I don't know. It like thoughts and prayers, praying mantis, prayer mantis.
Okay.
All right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was a good answer. Roly poly's fine. I would have also loved to accept praying mantis. That's okay. Can I just do one segment before we go in? Just get the segment juices flowing. We'll do some segments after, but
yeah. What is your to break format? What's your segment?
Okay, I have a new segment.
Oh, boy, of course.
And this is really complex, so stick with me here, okay?
Yep.
Okay, and the name of this new segment, stick with me, it's called Don't Trade Your Best Players to Luke, okay?
Okay, I think...
So this...
Yeah.
Go ahead. So you can, if you have one for me too, that's fine, but this week's Don't Trade Your Best Players to Luke goes to Duncan, who traded Luke Antonio Brown for a heaping pile of garbage. And that was Don't Trade Your Best Players to Luke. How do you like that segment?
We will talk about the trade later in Don't Trade Me, Bro, because that will be a segment that will be talked about. But that was a good little warm-up. And,
okay.
And yes, I agree. So
okay. All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. We begin. Andrew's team is now Danny Samandola. He's taking on Fronik, Street Taco Charlton. It's an early FP score coming in for Andrew with a top five finish and a 91, with Fronik not too far behind, seventh, but with an 87. Andrew is coming off of an 87-74 win over Jared,
who,
that's rough. That was the low of the week. Fronik lost to my team 97-132. Both are a part of the huge mass of teams tied at 2-3, tied for sixth, but chasing Pip in points for that playoff spot. Four players on bye for Fronik this week, including Shady. Including Shady McCoy. Only one for Andrew. A pair of up and down teams so far this season. What are you seeing in the matchup?
Yeah, these are weird teams that I don't really hate either of these teams. I don't really think that either of them, you know, are like championship contenders or anything, but you know, there's like all these 4-1 teams, and there's going to be somebody weird sneaks into the playoffs, I'm sure. You know, one of these kind of mid-level rosters. I don't know. They both have weird teams. I don't really know what to think about it. They're both missing like a couple pieces, man. They're just, sometimes you look at rosters in fantasy and you wonder how did the draft shake out that the teams ended up like this, where, you know, half the roster is starting, you know, way through the year. But
right,
yeah. As far as the matchup goes, I mean, I'm sure you have lots of thoughts. Well, let's talk about Andrew, I guess, first.
Okay,
number one thing, Andrew, I saw that he just subbed in Cam Newton for Big Ben. Big Ben obviously had an awful, awful week last week.
Very bad.
Cam Newton, pretty good. Well, Cam Newton, pretty awful week. Pretty awful guy. Good at football.
Bad off the field week for Cam Newton.
Correct. He's always been bad off the field, though. We don't.
Oh,
need to
but
get
he
into
smiles.
Our, I don't think we need to get into our Cam takes, but.
Okay.
But yeah, never. Yeah, he smiles. Is that what you said?
I did. Yeah, he's a big smiler. He's happy guy, yeah. So he's got to be good for the children, right?
That's always been the fakest smile in the league, right?
I don't know. I think he's genuinely happy. I think he has also spent a lot of that Auburn money, like whitening his teeth, and I think he's really proud of them.
Those are his Auburn teeth. Oh my God. Maybe he is happy, but like he's happy with. I mean, he's living a blissful life being a shitty dude. Anyways, that's my thoughts on Cam.
He's probably happy being a shitty guy. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. Oh, yeah, then I agree.
Okay, good.
Sorry.
Roundabout. But anyways, he's playing Philly on Thursday, and I have a scorching hot take. I think Andrew should actually be playing Big Ben over Cam Newton. I know Cam's been on a tear, and honestly, I'm just... Half of me is bitter because I dropped him and he's been on a tear ever since. But and part of it is you can't really even hardly predict Cam based on matchups. Like the way that he plays physically, it doesn't even hardly matter what the matchup is. Like he's either going to make plays and have it or he's going to not have it that day. And that's just the way he is. But I don't know. If you look objectively at the matchups, I mean, Thursday night games tend to be lower scoring. So Cam going against a pretty good Philly defense on Thursday. Philly's ranked 20th against quarterbacks, so actually not amazing. Surprising. That's kind of surprising, actually. But I don't know. It's hard to play Thursday players to me. It's just you never know how teams are going to show up on Thursday Night Football.
Right.
And Big Ben, playing at Kansas City doesn't sound like an amazing matchup, and obviously Big Ben on the road stinks and this and that, but honestly, as good as Kansas City's been this year, 27th ranked defense against quarterbacks.
That's not good.
Which is, yeah, that's really surprising. I mean, I guess they have Marcus Peters and then their, you know, our boy T. Mitchell and the other corners that have been struggling. So, yeah, I don't know. I have this weird feeling that Big Ben's just going to come back. He's being all sarcastic in his press conference about how he doesn't have it anymore. And I don't know. I think it was just a bad week for him. And I just have a gut feeling that he's going to come out and tear it up against Kansas City. Maybe they even like steal a win at home, or I mean, on the road, just, you know, shock the world, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, anyways.
I don't know. My big thing with Andrew's team is he just needs to learn how to set his lineup without listening to us, because we've been giving him advice for 2 or 3 weeks now how to set his lineup, and we've like he's listened and we've plaxicoed him every week. Because I mean, Kelvin Benjamin has gone. I mean, he didn't go off last week, and he's moved him. Now he's in his flex spot. But I mean, he had a 12 and a 13 point week on his bench, which is really good considering he had other receivers go for like 1 and 2 points when he's starting them. And I mean, when you never know when you're playing Jared, if his team is going to go for a million or, you know, nine, like it did last week.
Right.
But I mean, you got to kind of figure that out. And then he's sitting both of his W word, R word running backs this week. And they're taking on the Niners. So that, I mean, that looked pretty favorable. Cause I mean, Lamar Miller's been okay. And Frank Gore has been okay, but I don't know if you want to start two heads of a three headed running back system, you know, at once to sit two other guys. I don't know. It's just it's a very interesting roster that's got a lot of puzzle pieces, and they somehow fit together all well. Like, all of them are just, they're just square pieces that just perfectly match together.
Yeah, that's interesting you say. I mean, I agree. It's, his team is like, you don't hate that many of his players, but you don't love them. I don't know. It's not that bad, but, you know, it's hard to love guys like Amendola or Frank Gore in your starting lineup.
Right.
I mean, yeah, he really needs Jordy healthy this week. I say his lineup looks pretty good to me other than the Cam thing. I mean, I'd have Kelvin starting over Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is playing at Jacksonville and is probably going to get one of their super good corners on him,
right.
Ramsey or Bouye or whatever. So I wouldn't put Watkins in. So I don't know. His lineup is about as good as it's going to be. So what do you think about Fronik's team?
Looking at Fronik's team, my big question is Tariq Cohen at RB1. Mm-hmm. With McCoy on bye, like you've got to start him or Crowell. And, I mean, Crowell's a Brown who's been decent. I mean, he's getting more carries and touches than Cohen has. I mean, everything, receptions, carries, like it's all just going down for Cohen since that big week one. He's like barely since week one has like matched the point output that he got week one. So like, I mean, that's not very good. I think McKinnon looks like he's a solid play, as the number one, especially with the week he had against Chicago. I like that. And then he is one hell of a lucky bastard that he got Sterling Shepard back like off the waiver wire. And now that he's probably going to be a number one option in that offense. Assuming he's healthy.
He may not be playing, though.
Right. Which will definitely hurt him, because I guess he'd have to play Kendall Wright would be his next best option. His only option. Because that's his only other receiver on his roster that is playing.
Yeah. I don't hate Kendall Wright. I mean, he's not the worst player you can have in there with Trubisky, actually. Like, now that they have a real quarterback who seems to be moving the offense a little bit better. You know, Kendall Wright's not a player to get excited about, but if you have to play him, it's one of those, I don't know, it's okay. You just hate, I don't know, those running backs are disgusting with Cohen, McKinnon, and Crowell. Like, those are all flex guys if you don't have any better options. That's what you want those type of players to be, not leaning on all three of them as your running back. Like you said, even Cohen, man, he's turning into one of those guys that's like a better real life player than fantasy situation play. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
He's explosive out there, and the Bears are probably glad to have him, but also Howard is the running back, and there's only so much that Cohen's going to get, and you just can't predict a guy like that. It's like, you know, Tevin Coleman, even Cohen to like a lesser extent than Coleman, like they love to have him and they're going to use him. It's just, how are you supposed to predict that in a fantasy sense? Like, you just don't know when he's going to get touches.
Yeah. It's almost like a Patriots backfield situation with James White, except that you've seen, mm-hmm. you've had a season and like a playoffs of how the Patriots use James White, and you kind of know how he's going to play, and you know how the Patriots are going to play. And with Cohen being a rookie, you still aren't entirely sure. So yeah, I get that. It's just, it's mm-hmm. a very risky play to have him as your RB2 or your RB1 instead of Crowell. But I mean, yeah, it's not a good situation all the way around.
No way. Yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm going to pick Andrew in this matchup. Fronik, you know, I think that their rosters, like if you're talking overall, are pretty even, but Fronik's got Baldwin on a bye and he's got LeSean McCoy on a bye. And I just don't think he's got quite enough pieces to overcome that. You know, McCoy and Baldwin have actually been pretty underwhelming for the most part, but it's just, again, you just hate leaning on the guys that he's leaning on. And I don't know, Andrew's running backs, like Lamar Miller and Frank Gore are both similar players to me, not in playing style, but in the sense that they're probably better fantasy plays than you give them credit for.
Sure.
You know, Lamar Miller probably not worth his draft spot. You know, he was going in the like late second, early third in most drafts. Andrew picked him at, you know, the beginning of the second. Definitely not worth that, but also like he's going to get carries. They're playing Cleveland. Indy's going to get carries. They're playing Tennessee's defense, which is pretty whatever. And yeah, at this point in this matchup, at least I think Andrew's receivers carry him. I'll take Jordy and Will Fuller over the combo of Fitzgerald and Golden Tate. So I don't know. This matchup obviously could go either way, but I think I like Andrew a little bit more top to bottom. So,
yeah, I wasn't going to do picks, but definitely talking things out and knowing that Shepard may or may not play, I'm definitely leaning Andrew. I think probably like another like tight scoring mid low 90s kind of game. Drew Brees is going to have a hell of a day. excuse me. It's tight end. This week, but I don't know what to make of that. I know we didn't talk about tight ends much, but that's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, I don't hate that play, but it's kind of whatever. And he might end up playing Kyle Rudolph, so who knows?
Right. Yeah, so next up, we've got Luke. I'm thinking Arby's. He's taking on Pip, Doriel, Green Eggs, and Beckham. Luke's team is looking pretty bare, having traded away Chris Hogan and Joe Mixon for Antonio Brown. We've had a little bit on that. We'll have definitely a lot later. Very low fantasy pro score from Luke, since he doesn't actually have his entire roster filled out. And Pip is coming in out of the number one spot for 2 weeks. He drops down to number four with a 94. Luke is missing five players on bye. He has no RB2. He's filled in a wide receiver too. And Pip is only missing Dez Bryant with an already injured Charles Clay on bye. It is, the last I looked, it was pretty bare pickings for Luke's roster. And as I'm looking at it now, it is still bare. So he hasn't really, not a lot of moves he can make to fill the roster out.
Yeah.
But what are you seeing in the matchup here with what Luke's got to work with?
Oh, man. Yeah, this is an interesting matchup. I mean, you'd love to see both of these teams going at each other full strength. Luke obviously is kind of in the, it's like the definition of the bye week injury hell thing, you know, bye week hell, injury hell. Yeah, it's tough. He's in a bad spot. Obviously, trading for Antonio Brown was a huge move for him.
Oh yeah.
You know, he needs depth, but like if you can get a dominant player like that, you have to do it. And he was looking short on those big time type of players. Antonio does it for him, where now he's got Antonio and Kelsey, and I think Zeke also as well are kind of like, you know, the fantasy cornerstones that you look to have a few of on every team. But man, obviously a rough week for Luke. He's got Beckham out, he's got Zeke out, Mixon out. You know, even a player like Tyler Lockett might have worked his way into his starting lineup this week. And he's got a lot of work to do to fill his roster out. I don't know. This might be – I think that Luke is got to be feeling pretty happy and lucky that he's sitting at 4-1. Not because he doesn't have a good team, but just his team's been, I think, a lot worse than – you know, has performed a little worse than he was expected. So 4-1 is, like, pretty solid for what's been sort of a shaky, you know, come-and-go type of roster that he's had. So I think he's probably happy that he's at 4-1 and can probably – afford to lose this game. You know, when you look at your roster and you see a bunch of players having buys on the same week and then lose a guy to injury, it's like, also Devontae Parker, I didn't even mention, he's may not even play. So it's just one of those weeks where if you lose, you can't even be that upset about it, because that's just sometimes how things shake out. Sometimes you'll take that loss to be at full strength for the rest of the season. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I don't know. He's going to have to do some work on the waiver wire. I wrote down that I think this is the Nelson Aguilar Shroot Bucks Bowl between Luke and Pip. And that's not even to say that I think Nelson Aguilar is worth 40 Shroot Bucks or anything, but both of them, the cupboard is a little bare at wide receiver, so I wouldn't be shocked if one of these guys spent $25 or whatever. This podcast is getting released tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so all of the stuff you're saying now will come. Well, they'll hear it after.
Yeah, I know. I predict that one of them is going to spend $23 on Nelson Aguilar.
Interesting.
So that might be a little bit high. I'll admit it, but yeah. And again, I don't even think Aguilar is that amazing. But you just there's not a lot of receivers. Usually, you can get better receivers on the waiver wire, but this year it seems to be kind of strange. I don't know if everybody's just a week or two ahead of the curve and picking guys up or what, but there hasn't been a lot of breakout guys at receiver like there has at running back. Yeah. Anyway, so Luke's going to have to pick up somebody like that. I mean, his running back, he's going to have to play, you know, I just don't even know. Jamal Williams, he's going to have to pick up maybe Marlon Mack, maybe Orleans Darkwa. I mean, I don't know what you do if you're Luke there. It's going to be a nasty couple players filling in for this week, so it's going to be tough.
Yeah, that covered a lot of the stuff that I was going to talk about with Luke's team. The big thing is going to be who does he add, because I don't think he plays Jamal Williams. Maybe Adrian Peterson, although he's going to be coming in with a short week trying to learn the playbook and stuff, does fit in with Luke's running back with legal issues brand, so that would work out, maybe.
On brand.
Yeah, stay on brand, Luke. I don't want to say Luke hurt himself trading for Antonio Brown, because he's traded for Antonio Brown, but I'm sure he would have played Coleman at his RB2. And when Zeke comes back, like, his team is going to be Aaron Payne in the arse, like, for sure. I'm pretty sure he plays me next week, so I'm butt fucked for sure. It's weird that he would make a trade with so many buys. Like, I feel like Duncan could have very easily held on to Brown for another week if he wanted to make a trade for a guy like Mixon, and Luke could have held out for another week to be able to hold on to Coleman and get through it, adding a couple guys on the waiver wire or something. Because if you've got this many guys on bye, and you kind of know that as you're going through the draft process, like, you know, like, one or two weeks are going to be really bad. Like, for me, I knew week five and nine were going to be rough for me, because I had a bunch of guys, like, top guys that I was targeting were going to be on bye. Mm-hmm. And so if you just know you're going to take an L, like, take an L and make the big move next week or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. That's why obviously you can't blame him for making that trade. It was a one-sided trade. Luke won the trade. I mean, there's just no question. And I know that maybe he would have possibly benefited by keeping Coleman and Hogan this week over Antonio. But, you know, like I said, he's probably grateful to be 4-1, and he can afford a loss this week. If that's a loss this week, is worth having Antonio Brown for the rest of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt about it. Not even a question.
And then just moving over to Pip's team, he's got, like, I mean, he's missing a couple of key guys on bye. Dez Bryant, Charles Clay is on bye, but also out. But he's filled in with, I mean, Moncrief and Smith, Torrey Smith, are two guys that you'd be like, yeah, I can play like the guys you're talking about that are normally on the waiver wire that you could pick up to be like, this would be a good, you know, spot player or whatever. Like, Pip's got a lot of those guys with Moncrief and Smith. I've got questions about Carlos Hyde moving forward. It's just kind of weird how his usage has kind of slowed down a little bit. Shanahan said that they might roll with the hot hand. He hasn't scored since he played against the Rams 2 weeks ago. Those are his only touchdowns on the season. So that's going to be interesting. But again, like not a lot of guys to go with. Really interesting also the Baltimore Ravens running back situation. Like the entire week last week, it was Alex Collins is going to start. It's Collins. Yeah. And then Buck Allen goes in for 21 carries, 73 yards and a score. So I don't know how that's going to work out either.
Man, I don't know. And they even led the game off by giving carries to Terrence West. And I don't know. I wouldn't want any part of that running back situation. Those are the ones where you just almost would rather not have a guy from it. Although, to be fair to Luke, Buck Allen's been pretty good since he's picked him up. I mean,
yeah,
he's fine. But anyways, yeah, it's a tough situation. The last thing that he needs is running backs. I mean, Hyde, Hunt, Anderson, you'll still take those guys.
Yeah.
You can't play more than three running backs. So I'm sure he's feeling fine. It's weird. After a few weeks and maybe even going into last week, I think I would have for sure said that Pip has like a top two, top three team. And I'm not, I don't know. My love for his team is waning just a little bit. It's just hard to move forward with such like shaky wide receivers. I know that wide receivers are kind of boom or bust in nature, but you know, with again, like you were saying, with Carlos Hyde being sort of an iffy player moving forward, it's like if he doesn't have three running backs to lean on,
his team could
look a lot weaker. Moncrief could be good when Luck comes back. So he's got that. He can hang his hat on that. But even, you know, even Dez Bryant hasn't been amazing when he's been in. You just don't like playing Torrey Smith. So for the time being, I maybe knock his team down a few pegs. And that might be recency bias because I played against him last week and he didn't do too well. And, you know, I'm still scared of his running backs and Aaron Rodgers is the man and everything. Yeah. But, you know, I like his team. And as far as this week goes, he's got pretty much a full roster other than Dez Bryant. So I think I have to pick him to win just by default over Luke.
Yeah, because, I mean, the running back waiver wire is very thin. And Luke's, I mean, he's got two really strong receivers. Devontae Parker might not play, which would be a knockdown. But I don't think... I don't see a huge week coming from Brown and Thomas that would be enough. Like, Brown, Thomas, and Matt Ryan, like, aren't going to have three gigantic weeks that are going to carry him to victory. And I think Pip is just kind of going to, like, point him. I guess if it were, like, a fight, he would just kind of point him a little bit and come away with the win.
Yeah. Yeah, and I could even see this being somewhat low scoring this week. I don't know. Pip obviously could put up a ton of points this week. Who knows? But yeah, it could even be a low scoring matchup, but I think Pip comes out ahead.
Yeah. Our last matchup preview, it is a big one. It's the only matchup between two 4-1 teams, and we're both on the pod today. So it's Jordan.
Hi, Rick.
Hi. It's Jordan Team Cooper Cup of Noodles and my team, JSIE Berries. I've got the Big Ups 100 first place spot on the FP scale on a Tuesday after my 132 last week, while Jordan got the week high 133, and he's got the third place FP score with a 96. My only player on bye, or only one player on bye in this matchup, it was my Brock of the week last week, AJ Green. He really pooped the bed.
great call. Yeah, Deshaun Watson's bad too.
Yep, not good. Stand by it. so what? It's going to be a fun matchup for sure. I am eagerly waiting to poop my pants the entire weekend, paying attention to it. So what secrets are you willing to give away to your team that I can take advantage of?
That I'm starting Deshaun Watson, who is apparently bad.
You are starting Deshaun. That's for sure. You didn't switch around that for the pod or anything?
No, I flipped it around like an hour ago. Yeah, I've been meaning to. I just haven't had a chance to do it yet today. Deshaun Watson, good quarterback. Cleveland Browns, bad team. Sure. When a good quarterback plays a bad team, sometimes they score touchdowns, and that's what I'm betting on.
Okay. Yeah, that is a good bet. I had a bunch of stuff written out about analyzing the Tampa Bay-Arizona game because I thought that was going to be a big one with famous Jameis. But I guess I don't have to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, go ahead and crumple your paper up and throw that out the window, huh?
I don't print out notes. I just email them to myself, and I just type them all out because, you know, saving trees and all. So,
well, aren't you techie?
Yeah,
aren't you Mr. Computer Wizard over here?
I am. That's me.
Well, you know what I did? I have a blank white piece of paper. I wrote my notes on pen, and I used the book that I have, Good Night Moon, as a backstop for something to write on. So there you go. It's a physical copy of Good Night Moon, which I have in my house.
Wow, that is phenomenal.
And I own.
That's phenomenal.
And it's orange. And I read it every night.
Do you do the Good Night Moon game with Hannah and Jonathan? Do they get it, or do they?
Yeah. They love it, dude. They think it's hysterical. They just think it's so funny. It's right up their alley.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
most people understand that joke. Shout out to all the listeners out there who totally know what we're talking about.
Yeah, good for them.
Okay.
Back to the matchup. So, the one thing I've noticed is that we have some very good players on our bench that a lot of teams probably could use or like would have been on the waiver wire had we not picked them up. I mean, Jamison Crowder is bad, but like a decent option. Riddick, yeah. White, Stills, Gallman, and then you've got Henry, Winston, Kupp, Foreman. I had Deshaun on there because he was on your bench earlier, but I mean, just switch them out with Jameis because they're kind of the same thing. I mean, we've got some good depth here that I think we should be proud of.
Yeah. Phone high five for you, buddy. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I agree.
Breaking moves. The U.S. has lost to Trinidad and Tobago 2-1. They will not make the World Cup.
Oh, God. USA. USA.
Wow. That is unbelievably sad for the U.S.
Yeah. It's too bad, actually.
Okay.
You know how much football. I love watching the World Cup. So I just couldn't be more devastated. Anyways.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. We can talk soccer if you want. No, we can't. I agree. I think basically any player on either of our benches would probably be in Luke's starting lineup this week. that's a feat. We did it.
Yeah.
We stockpiled good players. That's how you win in fantasy. I think, call me crazy, but after thinking about it, I think we might have the two best teams in the league, to be honest with you.
Really?
Me number one,
sure.
Of course. And then you all, maybe two. Luke's team full strength might be there, but we'll see how Devontae Parker looks.
Right. Yeah, because that team with, I mean, assuming Buck Allen is still the starter, but that team with two strong number ones and then three strong number ones at wide receiver would be up there. Looking at the standings, I don't think Brandon's team is super strong. Pip's team is like that one kind of like if everybody's going at the same time, pretty scary. Same with Jared's.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And from there, it's kind of a big drop off.
Yeah. I mean, we got the, I think we got the top 2 points for.
We do.
With Pip just barely trailing and Luke also just barely trailing. That being said, I also have 30 more points than you. So, 28 more.
Yeah.
So, I win. I don't know. Good matchup this week, obviously. I like your team a lot. I think that any given week, you probably are reliant on whether Julio and Brandon decide to show up. So Cooks and Jones could go for 30 points as easily as they could go for four. We'll see who we get, but obviously they got juicy matchups. Julio against Miami and Brandon Cooks against New York Jets. Love that. Thielen,
so, hold on real quick on the Dolphins, on the Dolphins defense. So they had the weird bye week one. They're rated as the 10th defense against wide receivers so far this year. They've only given up two scores, and they those were to the Jets and the Saints. So is it a is it a good defense, or have they just played shitty teams and kind of gotten away with it?
It's the latter, because last week they played against Matt Castle.
Right.
So
okay.
I think that we solved the mystery.
Okay.
They've played against Matt Castle and Josh McCown. So
that's fair enough. Okay.
I think they're average.
All right. That was just something I noticed, and I wasn't sure if like they've got some sneaky good players back there or something.
That's a good thought. They're probably underrated since their offense is so bad it makes them look worse. But anyway, I'm interested to see if you for sure leave John Brown in at your flex. You got a lot of basically dead even options. John Brown, Jameson Crowder, Theo Riddick, who knows? I'm sure that one of them will go off and you'll get to kick yourself over it if we end up having a close matchup.
I would rather play John Brown and lose and have Crowder go off on my bench than start Crowder, because I know if I start him, he's going to have a bad week.
Okay.
So
great logic.
Yep. That is the logic.
He definitely cares whether you put him in his lineup or not in your lineup. That's good. It's his determining factor on how hard he plays.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I don't know what I'm going to do at my flex either. Latavius Murray didn't exactly show out last week. I could definitely play one of my receivers. I could play Cooper Kupp, playing the slot against Jacksonville. The slot receiver might be the only guy open the entire game because their corners are so good on the outside. I might also play Elijah McGuire if Bilal Powell and Matt Forte don't play. So I got a few options. I'm definitely not committing to any of them yet, so we'll see. But those two decisions could make or break it, because we both have really strong lineups up and down. Your running backs are looking actually somehow good. I didn't like your running backs at all after the draft. Fournette, I thought, was so average of a pick. You know, for the third round pick, I was like, why? Mark Ingram now looks like a great bet with Adrian Peterson getting traded, and Kamara's the pass catcher, and Ingram is the rusher. I mean, he's going to be good the rest of the year. I don't know what else to say about it. And I think that for Alex Smith, I know I have a hard time betting on him. I think you definitely have the edge at tight end with Zach Ertz. This matchup is so hard to pick, but I'm not feeling good about Stephon Diggs being injured. I have a feeling that we're going to just get those big Julio Jones and Brandon Cooks weeks. So I think I'm just going to pick your team to win this week. Even though I love my roster, and it's funny, I've been like just trying to decide on trades that I want to do to try to improve my team, but there's not a lot of places I feel like I really need to improve that much, and so it's hard to part with really good players. So, I'm happy with where my team is, but I like your team a lot, and I just have a weird feeling that, it's my time to get a good beat down.
Yeah, was Gordon on bye last week? Or no, he was. Okay. No.
No, he went for like 31 points.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I didn't watch any football last week because I was in Portland for the day. Actually don't
know. Saying hi.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Of course. I pulled a Jared, essentially. Scary to see that Doug Martin is back and he's in, mid-season form. Gordon against the Raiders defense, which got torched last week for running backs, is pretty scary. Same with Keenan Allen out there. I think the game breaker is going to be both of our flex plays, and then the Stephon Diggs versus Thielen. If Diggs doesn't play, that's obviously a huge boost for me, because then you've got to play probably two guys that you don't want to play instead of just one at flex. And then Thielen gets those receptions. Hopefully, this is going to sound terrible, but hopefully Keenum plays at quarterback and, Bradford is kind of done. Because he looked horrible last night.
Oh, yeah.
Boy,
That was weird. I was so excited that he was playing because I love my Vikings. I love Stephon. I enjoyed Dalvin while it lasted, and I was hoping for big things from Latavius in the offense. But, yeah, he looked absolutely terrible, and it's not his fault. His entire body is just disintegrating as we watch him. But, yeah, it was tough to watch. Who would have ever thought we would say the words, Case Keenum needs to go in at quarterback?
That's never.
Yeah.
No one should ever say those words again, really.
Yeah. He's decent, so. Anyway, what do you think? Who you got? I want you to make a pick.
For the sake of parody, I'm going to take your team because I think that I think Jones and Cooks actually have like 6 or 7 receptions kind of each, but no scores, and that's going to be the difference. Where I think Allen, Adams, and Diggs probably all get a touchdown each. Maybe Watson poops the bed against Cleveland for some reason, but that's unlikely because they're playing at home and he's been unstoppable. Maybe if I say he's good, he'll play bad. I don't know.
There you go.
I think that'll be the difference. I'm gonna take your team here.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Aren't we just very nice to each other?
We are. It's very kind.
Very courteous, yeah. This is just a positivity podcast. I think I said that last time.
It's true. Positivity?
Positivity.
All right.
Positivity.
Yep. So let's jump to segments. I've got, before we get into the big trade, I've got a real life don't trade me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trade
me, bro.
Don't trade.
I didn't do it, bro.
This is for the in real life trade that happened with the Saints and the Cardinals. Ingram now going to the Cardinals. They're desperate for a running back. David Johnson is due to come back in a couple weeks, 2-3.
Dustin Johnson, due to win the U.S. Open one of these years, right?
Someday. He'll get there. Do you think Adrian Peterson is worth getting picked up on the short week against Tampa Bay? Do you think if you're someone like Luke that you would be possibly desperate to pick him up?
Pick up, yes. Play, no. I just don't think... I don't know. It's hard to get that turnaround going in 1 week where you, I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable picking up a player and starting him 4 days after he got picked up by a team. But picking him up for sure, they don't have any running backs. I mean, every one of their running backs is just like a little baby tiny guy. They're all the same player. Andre Ellington played well, but he only played well because he caught like 10 passes and he's a pass catching guy. So AP, pick him up. Don't expect anything crazy out of him because I don't think he's that good anymore. But I wouldn't play him. Wouldn't play him this week. But I'd love to have him on my roster.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know we've got the other "Don't Trade Me" with Luke and Duncan, but we'll get to that at the end. Do you have any other segments you want to get to first?
Not really. I'm playing on a short week, kind of.
That is true.
I just got like 20 hours notice basically on getting ready for this pod. I have a job where I'm actually not able to spend my time prepping for the show, which is a real bummer. And wasn't able to do a lot of segment prep. So this is kind of my color rush Thursday night football. I'm playing on a short week. Nobody said I was going to be able to bring my A game, but, it's all about getting a W. So hopefully I can go out and do that.
All right. I've got one more quick one for real. Pharrell, Will Fuller. Two receptions last week, both for touchdowns. He's got 4 touchdowns on 6 receptions on the season. Andrews got him. Do you think that is a legit starter now, fantasy-wise?
Yeah, I think he's for real. Why not? He's had 2 good weeks since he's come back. And he's playing on the other side of a really, really good receiver. He's playing with a quarterback who can get him the ball. Those two are basically the only options in the pass game. So I don't see any reason why Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins can't both be, you know, so really solid fantasy wide receivers. So for real.
All right. Now to the big one, the big don't trade me, bro.
Don't trade
me, bro. Don't
trade.
I didn't do it, bro.
This is Luke team. I'm thinking Arby's. He goes and he picks up Antonio Brown from Duncan, who receives Chris Hogan and Tevin Coleman. We've got audio from both Duncan and Luke. Who would you like to hear from first?
let's hear from Duncan, because how could you justify it?
All right, here is Duncan on the trade.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, my strategy was to play the waiver wire and try to pick up some sleeper and or unorthodox players. It's no secret that that hasn't worked out, and my running back situation is extremely poor. After taking an absolute beating from Luke, I knew I had to start making some more drastic moves. I did make some pickups off the waiver wire that I'm pretty excited about. I think that the way that the Seahawks are starting to utilize McKissick is really exciting, and there's a lot of explosive potential there. That said, not going to save my team, and Antonio Brown alone wasn't going to fix my team. So I think Tevin Coleman brings a lot to the table and is immediately going to boost my team's competitiveness. While it sucks to give up Antonio Brown, I think Hogan's still a great backfill. I'm not under the impression that he's going to remain the touchdown factory he's been all season. It's just not realistic, but I don't feel like I'm completely losing out on my wide receiver core. I'm keeping my fingers crossed I didn't plexico myself with this, but I am interested to hear what all the analysis is going to be about this move, and look forward to hearing from y'all soon.
So that was Duncan. Now, before we get into the analysis, let's hear from Luke.
Hey, Rick. It's Luke here talking about my trade I made with Duncan today. So I was looking for a replacement for Odell Beckham going down, so I was looking through teams and seeing who they needed and if anyone had a glaring need. And I was going through the teams and I saw Duncan has a serious need at just overall depth, and particularly at running back, with Marshawn as his only real running back. So I sent them an offer, Chris Hogan, who I really like, and Joe Mixon, who I really like. And he said he was interested, talked for a little bit, and then he's really needed a win this week, so he didn't love that Mixon was on bye. So I countered with Tevin Coleman, who's playing Miami this week, and it worked out since he's struggling with being 1-4 and he needs a win against Scott. So he got Hogan with a great matchup against the Jets, and then Coleman against the Dolphins. And I liked it from my side because I think Antonio's the best receiver in the league, and it really helped me to replace OBJ without losing too much of my depth, so I can still keep Zeke and Mixon, my top two running backs, keep Javoris Allen, who I like a lot, and then I still have three good receivers. All right, thank you.
So you've heard from both people now on the trade. Jordan, what do you think here?
I just, like, Duncan is just, his team is bad. He's in a bad place, and he's just, like, basically sounded like he was saying, I just don't know what to do here. I have to trade somebody, and it seems like he just traded it for the sake of doing it. I mean, I just can't imagine that there wasn't a better running back, at least, that he couldn't have got out of it. I don't even think Chris Hogan is that good, but I think you could have gotten the type of player where you get like a wide receiver two type and like a running back two type. I mean, wouldn't you have given up like Mark Ingram plus Adam Thielen to get Antonio Brown?
A week ago, yeah. I don't know if I would trade Ingram now because AP is gone. But I mean, he sent me a trade for Gallman that was Gallman for Marshawn and Jaquizz Rogers. Or no, Marshawn and McKissick. And it was like, that's,
yeah.
Like, I know you're looking for a running back, but I don't want, like, I would just drop those two guys immediately. Like, I would just be giving you Gallman, basically.
I just can't imagine that he couldn't have found something better on the table.
Yeah.
I get the idea that you have to, at a certain point, flip your top guy for two decent guys. I totally understand that. When your team is losing, like, you don't have anything to lose. You got to try to do that. But, you know, and I think maybe, like, Scott's in the same situation where he might eventually have to trade, you know, one of his couple of decent players. But I just don't – Tevin Coleman's not that guy. He's a running
literally,
back, too,
he's
for
a,
his own team.
Yeah. That's what I had written down. He's a literal RB2. Like, he's
a literal RB2. That's not the kind of RB2 you need to get out of Antonio Brown.
No,
the number one receiver. It's crazy. There's no way he couldn't have I mean, from Pitt, he probably could have traded for – he could have traded him to Pitt for Dez Bryant and C.J. Anderson. I bet Pitt would have taken that. Maybe ask for an extra throw-in. There's just such better offers that could have been on the table for that good of a player. I can't believe it.
If I had known that AB was on the table, I would have – I think – I mean, obviously, hindsight's 20/20, but I think we all could have put together like a better offer to get him AB back than what he got.
100%, and that's not any fault to Luke, and it's of course hindsight's 20/20. But that's on Duncan to me to go out and be like, okay, I've got an offer for this guy. Why don't I throw some crazy stuff out to other people before
right.
I just take. Before I take the best thing that Luke can offer me, why don't I see what everybody else thinks? Because how are we supposed to know that the number one receiver is available,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Anyway, that's my thoughts on it. I understand the skeleton of the rationale, but it just doesn't make any sense. It was a bad trade.
And if you didn't want, or if you wanted Mixon, but you didn't want to take him because he's on a bye, then just wait it out. Like you've still got wide running back options that you can play. Like Smallwood is questionable, but like you could plug him in. Or go to the waiver wire and just take a huge risk on somebody.
Yeah, spend $40 on Marlon Mack. Like,
yeah,
not that he's worth that, but just like go balls to the wall and just take a shot at that. I mean, Marlon Mack has good of a chance to go for points as Tevin Coleman does in my mind.
And he's taking on Scott this week, and they're the bottom two teams in the league. Like, you could probably with the team that you had with AB, like, could have gotten you a win and you could have been in a better place where you could make a trade for someone else and keep AB. Like, I don't know. It's just, this is a weird trade. I think it's a bad trade for Duncan. Like, I totally agree with you. Like, I get what he's trying to do, but there probably should have been a better way to do it.
Yep. 100%. That's all I got for it.
Yep.
I'm just going to make myself angry if I keep talking about it.
All right, well, that'll wrap things up for your part here on the pod. Thanks for coming in on a Thursday night football, Tuesday night edition, early on the pod, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Always fun, Rick.
And I guess best of luck to your team this week, even though you're playing me. So,
good luck, man. Like I said, I think you're going to win. Hope you don't.
I think you're going to win, and I hope you don't.
No, you're going to win.
No, you're going to win.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, me.
All right. Bye. I'll cut that part out. No one will hear it. Wrapping up the finishing parts of Jordan's half of the pod here, back in Wednesday for part two for some updates on the Bahobucks that were spent since the first half was taped. Jordan was right that Pip or Luke would go after Nelson Aguilar, but he was wrong for the amount of Bahobucks spent, only 12 for the Philly wide receiver. Also interesting of note that Luke only dropped bid zero on Aguilar. Interesting for me. Pip also spent some big bucks on Matt Breida. Good call for him. I like to pick up Hyde status as a number one dropping. Fronick, he was just talking to me the other week about how, I'm all set. I even got the Niners back up. Shame on you for dropping him. If you know a guy's got value, you gotta try and exploit that. Andrew, Dami Salmandola, big, big Bahubucks on Adrian Peterson, dropping a 30 burger on him. Jared and Luke had unsuccessful bids with 9 and 10 bids, respectively. Another 30 burger, Brandon, TCBY Hilton pays big for Marlon Mack. And Luke, wrapping up, filling in all the holes that he had to fill in, goes with Jags backup Chris Ivory at his RB2 and Taylor Gabriel at flex. I do like the Gabriel ad, assuming Sanu's probably not going to play. Julio might be limited against the Dolphins. I think that's a good pickup, but not so good at RB2. Really going to have to ride this one out before he gets his full squad back together next week.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces.
Now that we've gotten our early half of the pod out of the way, it's time to welcome back our resident lover of animals. It's the owner of the Cleveland Hash Brown. Scott, welcome back to the pod.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Good. So you requested Mad World as your intro song. I'm guessing it's because you're winless 0-5. I mean, how are things in the Hash Brown locker room right now?
Not good, Rick. About as bad as it gets out here. In this lot here, locker room. It was just a request, since it's kind of how I feel all the time now when I think about fantasy. It's not really an end in sight.
Yeah.
Also, it's still playing. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I know. I've still got it up. I'm taking my time fading it out on purpose.
I'm watching
it again. I haven't actually watched the video in quite some time, so I'm kind of just remembering what that's
Jules,
like.
Or are you watching the real music video?
I'm watching Pat Smith's edition.
All right, perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Actually,
good one.
You know what? I'm actually gonna stop. I can't watch anymore.
Can you just narrate the video to me? I haven't seen it in a while either.
We're at the Donnie Darko part, and
it's a bad part.
Yep, it's still all black and white, and now Frat is walking outside alone at the old Capri. So
why is he alone?
That's just,
doesn't he have any friends?
It's how Donnie Darko rolls, man. I can't do any more of it. I really can't. Let's move to fantasy football matchups here. We're kicking things off. 4-1 Mike in Domicon Soup taking on 2-3 Jared Cooks. Jared's coming off of one of the worst weeks I think he's ever had in fantasy, a league low 74, while Mike ran away with his matchup winning 99-78. Jared actually comes in with the number 2 FP team this week with a 97. Mike coming in 7th with still a really high 90. The bye's hitting Mike a little harder this week. No Russell Wilson or Jimmy Graham or CJ ProSize to work with in this one. What are you seeing in this first matchup we got here?
Well, yeah, they're both looking pretty good. I like things about both teams. I dislike things about both teams.
Fair.
Soupy Boy Mike is starting Jesse James. Probably not a good look for anybody. I'd rather have Jason Witten start at my tight end and my flex and have to start one Jesse James. But I like Mike's receivers a lot. Alshon Jeffries. And obviously Tyreek Hill's a fantasy monster. Jared's got the Le'Veon Bell cow in his backfield, and Jordan Howard too. And those are both, they play a lot of good football, I'd say.
They are good, yeah. They were worth the picks they were taken for.
I'd say so. Is Marcus playing this week?
He is still listed as questionable, and Mariota.
I need answers, damn it.
Well, Mariota has expressed confidence he'll be able to play Monday night, which I'm sure ESPN would love, because I'm thinking that Mariota was half of the reason that they would pick Indianapolis and Tennessee to be a Monday night game to begin with. And outside of fantasy, there might be no other reason really to watch this game other than Marcus.
Yeah.
So fantasy and Marcus, and that's it.
Mm.
But yeah, that's a big question mark on Jared's team and how he does. Do you see like the full squad, Aaron Payne in the arse with Bell, Howard, and Gronk going off this week, or do you see more of a like just kind of a bad performance week showing up for Jared?
I mean, I don't think his team will do bad. I don't see them going off. Of course, how can you really know? I guess Baltimore's defense isn't – well, I guess they're all right. And Kansas City, I don't like that matchup against Bill. And, I mean, I'm seeing Jared in this one just because Philop Rivers isn't a great fantasy QB either. That being said, I just added Josh McCown to play, so I can't really talk about good fantasy quarterbacks. I don't know. What are you thinking?
I'm not the line right now on the projection is Jared by 17. I'm not buying.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm not buying
way
that.
Too much.
Yeah, if you've got a fantasy bookie, get in now while the line is big and put your money for Mike to at least cover.
I'm about to make so much money.
Yeah, just
so much money.
Just like everyone probably should have bet Wazoo plus 2.5 last week. You should definitely probably take Mike plus 17 this week. I see a lot of warshes. Like Jared's got a little bit of edge.
You're gonna be real clean.
I like that joke. That was a good one. Jared's got a little bit of an edge with running back. I think he's got, solid, you know, number one backs at his RB1 and 2 over Mike. Mike's got better receivers, though. I mean, Cobb can kind of go off because he's just a Packer receiver, but Landry, you know, has the potential to maybe have a good week, but, I mean, Jay Cutler's not good. Pierre Garçon is, I mean, basically just a reception machine. But Mike's got guys that get lots of targets and get into the end zone on big plays. So I think I like Mike this week in a tight one. But
oh, you got Mike in a tight one, huh?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the 4-1 soup team taking down Jared. I think it's I don't know. I don't know if Gronk plays and what kind of performance he'll have because he's still like has been limited at practice. Devin Funchess is a decent flex play against the Eagles defense. I think Mike's got the stronger team to overcome Lev Bell and Howard kind of going off with his depth from receiver on down.
Yeah. I know I just picked somebody and I already forgot who I picked, but I'm going with Mike in a toy one as well.
Okay.
Now that you bring that up. Soupy Boy, he's on a hot streak. 3 in a row. So Subi Mike wins again, squeaks by, just like he always seems to do.
Classic Soup Mike. That's what we've always called him. Classic Soup Mike.
Soupy pants.
All right, next up, we've got Tim, Chick-fil-A J Green Burrito. He's taking on Brandon, TCBY Hilton. Tim lost last week to Mike. He put up a second lowest score for the week was 78. He drops to 1-4. Brandon gets a bounce back win over you, Scott, 115-89. Tim is in the 10th spot with an 83 on Fantasy Pros, while Brandon, a actually surprising last place finish with a 77 for a 4-1 team. Tyrod Taylor and Dak Prescott both on bye. I think Brandon not having a quarterback might be the reason why he's in last place. but how do you see this matchup going?
Well, Tim's team name makes me real hungry at first, and then not very hungry when I see the Green Burrito part. Never been a fan of Green Burrito. Just to get that out there. I mean, I'm thinking if Brandon's able to add a quarterback, I like that team better than Tim's team. But I kind of called Tim when to win a game this season, and then he went and beat me, so... I'm not betting against Tim's team the rest of the year. That's just me. I mean, it comes down to the quarterback. I feel like it's going to be a toss-up again. They're opposite records, 1-4 and 4-1. But Brando, I don't really like your team. I mean, I like my team better. They're on 5 and near 4-1, so not sure. Really, what to tell you? What are you thinking, Rick?
Yeah, I just took a look at the QBs that are available. It is it's slim pickings, man. Like I kind of want to be. I mean, obviously, because this half of the pod will come out and you'll be able to listen to it before the game start. I don't know if anybody else is kind of jonesing for a quarterback, but
I'm jonesing.
Oh well, yeah, that is true. You are the other one. I mean. Carson Palmer, he's still on waivers, but Keenum could get picked up. Maybe Jacoby Brissett or touchdown Trevor Siemian. It's, I don't know. Those are the top projections for the week right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about any of them really. I mean, Tennessee's got the number 30th ranked defense, so maybe you take a flyer with Jacoby Brissett, and then you've got a pair of, or I guess no, that's wrong Monday night game, but you could have, you know. Whatever. Yeah, you would have the TY connection, so maybe that could be something Brandon's thinking about. It's kind of a weird situation to be in where both of your quarterbacks end up at bye at the same time. And I think Brandon was talking about how, like, Dak Prescott, it was weird that Duncan dropped him, and then he had Siemian for a little bit. That situation's a little strange. I'm really interested as to what Alvin Kamara is going to do at RB2, because with AP gone, it definitely opens up the door for Ingram and Kamara to, like, make an impact. I'm just not sure if Kamara is really worthy of an RB2 spot. I know $150 Bilal Paul is questionable to play. He didn't practice today. Dookie Johnson is he's Dookie. I don't know. What do you think about this running back situation Tim's working with?
Well, Kamara had a big week a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
Last week he went for 20.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of then. I mean, I know you got Ingram and you're rooting for a little Ingram love, but I don't really know anything about Kamara. Kodak Kamara. I 20 points is nice. I would say that'd be enough for me to give him a start on my team, but my team sucks. So, I mean, I like his RBs. DeMarco, I didn't like him at first. He was doing bad in the beginning of the season, but now that he's emerged as the clear number one again over Henry, I'm liking his RBs not as much as Brandon's. Freeman's been really good this year. Christian McCaffrey has been taking all the TDs from Jay Stu, so it's nice for him too. And I'd also, I just like to put this out here. I actually am trying to pick up Carson Palmer. I don't care. You can pick him up if you want, but I spent a lot of money on him, so just don't spend any money on him, okay? That'd be the easiest route to go.
So you're telling people who you're trying to pick up and that you're putting in a big bid?
Yeah, that's how sure I am I'll get him if you bid against me. So, I mean, just don't put any money on him.
Have you, I guess you don't have to answer that if you don't want to, but did you max out your remaining Bahubuck budget?
I refuse to answer that, yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I wouldn't answer you anyways. So who do you like in this one? Like right now, Brandon doesn't have any quarterback to work with. Looks like he's got the better running backs in this one. Wide receivers are all really not great outside of T.Y. Hilton. I mean, it's, boy, oh,
Crab
wow.
is nice.
Crab's okay. I also just realized that Tim's got Amari Pooper on his bench. What do you think of that move?
Ooh, finally sitting him, huh?
Yeah.
He's got a case of the dropsies, so, I mean, I understand it, but you don't need to waste him on your bench when you could be starting for the hash browns over here. That's all I'm saying. Just send a little love my way, Tim. That's interesting, though. I didn't actually realize that he was on the bench. So.
I literally just noticed it. I was looking at the receivers earlier. I was like, wow, were Tim's receivers really this bad? And, well, with Amari Pooper on the bench, that'll do it for you.
That will do it for you. I like Pooper over Matthews personally, but whatever.
I'd put Pooper in over Martavis Bryant.
Yeah, Martavis hasn't done anything this year. I guess he had average 7.2, but
he had the one big game. He had one big game and like 3 weeks ago, and that's the only big week he's going to have probably for another 2 weeks. So I. Mm. Yeah, I mean, Amari Pooper's been worse, so I could see why you're trying to play a guy who's at least catching the ball, but Clippers are not, they're 23rd against wide receivers, and Kansas City is 30th. Well, okay, so maybe I guess if you're going with the numbers.
Yeah, those numbers are pretty close, I guess. So they're both shitty defenses.
Yes, they're pretty bad. So who are you going with?
Well, the line is, again, it's pretty big. And Tim's favored in this one, which is pretty exciting, I guess, because Dak's out. But I think it's going to be closer than 15 once Brandon picks up the quarterback, obviously. And I got 10 this week. And I have Tim even harder if he puts in Pooper.
Yeah, I am. I'm going the other way. I'm thinking Brandon. I don't like Tim going with the Lions defense against New Orleans, and I really like Marvin Jones playing New Orleans. I think Devontae Freeman's going to probably outscore, going to have a big week this week. So I like Brandon in this one, going the other way.
Well, you probably want Devontae Freeman to do well because he's on Atlanta, huh?
Well. I mean, maybe. Or I just, you know, as an impartial host to the podcast, I just think he's going to do well. Maybe it's that. Do you think about that?
True.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. It's the last matchup of the week. Toilet Bowl 2, Electric Boogaloo. Scott, you are the Cleveland Hash Browns taking on Duncan Double Decker in Fries. Both of you guys lost last week. Scott, you lost to Brandon. Duncan lost to Luke. You guys put up 89 and 81, respectively. Scott, you do have the FP advantage coming in at 9th with an 86 and Duncan at 11th with a 79. He doesn't have AB after trading him away, but he is starting Tevin Coleman and Chris Hogan. You are winless. We kind of talked about that a little bit, but is this the week you get into the win column?
Probably not. I mean, I don't like starting Josh McCown more than the next guy, but every time I think my team's going to do well, they just don't. So, I mean, I like my team this week. I like Gurley every week. And, yes, the Jacksonville defense is kind of a toss-up. Hop should be good against Cleveland, you would hope. Is Sanu going to play? What's the word from inside the Falcons camp?
I'm hearing that he probably won't play. He didn't practice today, and I think sometime last week, Quinn said they might miss a week or two. So I'm guessing that includes the bye week. I don't think Sanu plays this week, though.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I just might have to pick up somebody else. Maybe a wide receiver with a name that rhymes with Crandon LaFell. Maybe. I don't know. I need one more receiver, so looking to pick up somebody. Don't know who that'd be, but Marshawn Lynch, I think he's looking to break out against the Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim. And he's got the new additions, fresh new shiny cars, Tevin Coleman and Hoagie Roll. So hope that works out for him. I think that was an okay trade. In my book.
Really?
I mean, how do you feel about it? I know you guys probably went over it already, but for the sake of discussion.
Yeah, for the sake of discussion, I mean, as you heard already, when Future You listens to the podcast, you'll hear what Past Me said.
God.
Yeah, did you follow?
We're going to ruin so many timelines right now. I don't like it.
I didn't like the trade. It was not good, man. Like, Jordan and I both agreed that we understand that you have to trade a guy like AB when your team is in the dumps, but you could have gotten a lot more back for what you did. So,
well, here's the thing. As experience, like, this is coming from a guy who's in the seller arse. People try and take advantage of the seller arses and try and get you. You give up your best players for a lot less. Like, Gurley, I'm trying to get a lot out of him if I'm getting rid of him. People don't want to give you that much for him.
So would you rather...
You're taking what he could get.
Yeah, but would you rather hang on to Gurley and go Ofer, or would you rather trade him away, not get as much back, and maybe win three games and not finish in last place?
Well, I mean, you would rather win three games than win no games, I assume. But I don't know. It's a good question. It depends if Chris Hogan keeps up his scoring. I mean, that's going to look real nice. I'm kind of biased because I don't like Antonio Brown or the Steelers. And, I mean, pick-wise, I mean, you're giving up basically two guys. You're taking two guys could have picked up from the waiver wire for the number three pick. So pick-wise, like, that doesn't look very good. But points-wise, I mean, I didn't think Tevin Coleman was doing that well, but if he's averaging 11 points, like, yeah, take some points. Is he actually doing that well, or give me another inside hit from the Falcons locker room? Tevin Coleman actually good?
Tevin Coleman is actually average. Like, he gets it, and he's a good, like, change of pace back for that offense, and he's works really well as a number two back, as a guy who can catch the ball. He runs the ball really well for a guy that basically comes in on passing downs. I guess not average. He's probably like a B player. He's probably like a B minus fantasy option. Basically a guy that, like, if you have Devontae Freeman or something like that, like, you can play him at flex or whatever. He's like a literal real life RB2 that's getting an RB2 fantasy spot. And I mean, I know he's like, Duncan's got a couple of his Seahawks guys on buys that he'll probably end up playing, and Coleman will end up being a flex play or something like that later on. But I don't know. I thought that he could have traded for a couple better running backs out there.
Yeah. Don't know what offers he was getting. So do you have Duncan on to discuss, or is it, did he text you anything?
Yeah, we got his audio recording on there. Again, future you will have already listened to that. Yeah, sorry. I'm breaking timelines here. Yeah. I've got actually a quick question for you. Is it possible to own any more players who are IR eligible?
I was looking through it, and I could pick up Dalvin and OBJ. And also, like, I'd have, like, four top 20 picks, so it's not good. I'm looking at my little quick box score here, and if you just want to scroll down to my injuries, it's about as many players that are in my starting lineup have a little red injury notes next to them. A lot of them are questionable, but my superstar Chris Conley just went out with that Achilles injury, so I guess I'm gonna have to drop him. Little insider tip for anybody looking up, pick up Chris Conley for next year. And I don't really know what's going on with Snead. I was very happy with the news from Dr. Andrew Stone last week about Derek Carr's injury.
Right.
Had no idea. It was so simple, and it makes a lot of sense. I thought it was like a spinal injury, obviously, but apparently not.
Yeah, you would.
So hopefully.
You would think with broken back, it would be like bones and things, not like muscles or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's above my pay grade, but luckily the good doctor was in and helped us out. Are you looking for some IR eligible players? IR spot? Because you're basically wasting a roster spot, you know that. If you're not using your IR spot.
I have my IR spot filled. I've got Andrew Luck. So I'm set.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So I would.
When's he coming back?
Probably never would be my guess.
I will trade these for IR players.
Yeah, you want to go? You want to go? Andrew Luck for David Johnson?
Yeah, that seems fair to me.
Okay, cool. We can do that then. Go ahead and send that through.
All right, talk to future me. Or past me.
You'll hear past you negotiating out with present you later.
Dude, stop. You're really giving me a headache. I don't even know what timeline this is now.
This is all the present, man.
Time is a flat circle, man.
What are you thinking? I mean, what are your chances this week? Are you high hopes? Are you low
hopes? What are the chances?
Yeah, what are the chances you get your win?
I think it's a 55% chance I win. I'm favoring myself, I know. I think if Todd Gurley and DeAndre come through, they can maybe score enough points to carry the rest of my team that will score under 5. And I'm just hoping Duncan scores under 75, because I think that's an attainable goal for me right now.
Yeah,
I know we're projecting 94, and that's with Sanu at 0, but I'm so sick of the ESPN projections giving me 9 or 10 points for Chris Conley, and then he gets, I mean, he's been overperforming, but gets like 4. Who do you got?
Well, I just wanted to ask you, what's the number that you think, like, first two X number of points or first to get here probably wins it? What's that number you're going for?
Well, I've been doing a lot of math, and the limit does not exist. And I want, I'm shooting for 90 points, 90 to 95, I think I'm good. I have a theory. I don't know how much this theory is true, but if you average 100 points, like, I feel you're going to make the playoffs. And again, that's no sort of math into that. That's just a little theory I like to go by. So,
no,
looking for 90 and 95.
Yeah, that number seems right to me. Because, I mean, we're through 5 weeks here, and we've got half the league just about averaging over 100 points a game. So, I mean, yeah, you average, you know, 10 points a player for your guys, like, you're probably going to end up with a pretty decent score every week, so.
That's just math.
Yeah, that's the math right there. My pick for this is I do think you get your win, and I think it's because
let's go.
there's three really good players in this entire matchup, and you've got two of them in Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins, and Duncan's only got Tom Brady. I don't think Chris Hoagie-Roll can keep this up. I know he just like keeps scoring touchdowns. I think Luke traded him at the right time because I think he starts seeing a drop off here. I mean, other than that, like, these teams are not great. Not a lot of bright spots, but you've got two, and Duncan's only got one. So I think that gives you, if you do the analysis there, that gives you the advantage.
I like that. Also, well, why are you so hard on Cameron Brate? You're really giving Bamron a tough time, making him like a trophy. Some sort of great trophy. I have to take offense to that because he's my guy now, and I don't think he's that bad.
No,
he's gonna represent the last place.
Yeah, he's I mean, number six tight end. I just thought because we've got the Ramron Cup and there's another guy named Cameron. Just thought we could just that it's not like
going off the.
Yeah, I'm just it's just a name thing. It's not a talent thing.
All right, sorry, I was a little bit mad online there for a second, but I'm good now.
Okay, no worries. All right. No worries.
Fair enough.
So that
also, how many points from Andre Ellington this week? Take a wild guess.
Ooh.
Just give me a prediction. Like, should I start him? I don't know.
Oh man.
It really doesn't matter. I think I have to start him because I'm pretty much out of players. But I mean. How many points do you think he gets this week in that shitty backfield?
I think he gets under his projected 9, but I think he's going to get a ton of runs because I don't think Peterson is going to be actually ready to play because I'm assuming he got to, at best, he got to Arizona late last night. Probably, I don't even know if he practiced today or anything. So I think he gets a lot of carries, but I don't think he does well. But I think, yeah, you've kind of got to start him, unless Willie Snead is maybe healthy and you're feeling that. But I mean, if Sanu isn't playing, you're probably gonna have to play Snead or Allison anyways. So, or Cameron LaFell.
Cameron, yeah, no, that's what I was thinking. I shouldn't start Geronimo Allison? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, probably not. I don't think that's not a good start there.
Yeah, the whole Twitter thing, like those old tweets, that was pretty funny.
Didn't
give me any points?
I didn't see those tweets. I don't think we have a tweet scoring breakdown here, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
You got any segments to roll through here?
I got a couple quick hits.
Okay. What are we starting with?
First is Aaron Payne and Miars. And that's just injuries in general. I mean, we kind of already went over that. We're just kind of sick of losing players to injuries. It's a real pain in the yards.
That does sound like second, a pain in the yards.
Second is just a yeah, dude. This yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
It was out to JoJo. It's a little bit late, belated yeah, dude. But dropping 50 on Latavius.
Yeah, dude.
I drafted him for zero Baja Bucks, and he didn't really pan out last week. So just a yeah, dude for Jordan.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, it was a lot of money on a guy who ended up not even becoming the starter. So.
Yeah, you idiot, Jordan. You fucking dummy.
All
right, I'm.
You got another one, or can?
No, that's it.
All right, I got one here. I got a rock of the week.
Rock of the week.
Of the week.
Kirk Cousins. I think he has I think he has a really big day at home for the W word, R words. Trying out for the San Francisco 49ers and their new starting quarterback. I think he's gonna.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna have a huge day balling out for Shanahan again. Kind of like a hey, do you remember me? Do you miss me? Like bring me back. Kind of like an ex lover kind of a game. So I think
full ex action.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins with some cousin love this week.
Yeah, ooh, kissing cousins in the Bay Area, huh?
Ooh, yeah, you saw where I was going there.
Yeah, check out the all the fights in SF, get to know C a little bit before he has to go back to the Capitol. I like that.
All right.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much, Scott, for coming on the pod. Greatly appreciate it. Best of luck getting your first win. I'm rooting for you. I'll be pulling for you. I think we don't want to see anybody go winless. So just get one out of the way at some point here.
I mean, I kind of do want to just go winless at this point. What's the point anymore? I can't even get out of the bowl.
Going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses. No expression. No expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day.
It's Friday Night Lights on the radio. It's the High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Bi-Mart on KUGN News Talk 590. Join Nick Rogers and Tim Thompson as they bring you the best high school football matchup in the state each and every Friday night. From the X's and the O's to the detailed analysis of each play, KUGN is your home for the best high school football coverage in the state. Bi-Mart, get ready for your season for less.
I'm Nick Rogers. This week's Game of the Week has the Springfield Millers taking on the Churchill Lancers. Churchill took a solid hold atop the Midwestern League after their dominating 41-20 win over Marist last week, as running back Dalton McDaniel dominated the offense for the Lancers, scoring 3 touchdowns with plenty of touches off the ball Friday night. Springfield are still looking for that all-important first win of the season, almost pulling it out last week against North Eugene, losing a tight one 20-19. Tune in for the pregame at 6:45 with kickoff at 7, only on KUGN 590.